your property sucks.
Most of these properties look like model homes. And this is wherein lies the problem.
Does it hurt more if your price is too high or too low if you're in the middle?
The number one thing people will pay more money for is a unique, personalized experience.
Talk to me about why people need to just face the truth here.
You're choosing these easy buttons on the front end,
right,
that make it way harder on the back end,
right,
to succeed. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore. We're back with Whiskey Wednesday. Our producer, content manager, everything in between, Mr. You know Jake Sheehy.
How you doing? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Yeah, good. Good. I'm excited right now. We're rolling into summertime. Yeah. We're kind of getting, yeah. I feel like we're like jumping all in, talking about a lot of different things. What do we have on the agenda today?
Today, we're discussing how to revitalize a struggling property. We're going to go through here. We got a good bit of points. We're understanding your why, your target audience, your pricing strategy, your marketing, your design and photos. At the end, we're going to face some hard truths. But first, I wanted just to shout out some people really fast.
Okay.
Billy and Amanda at the helm.
At the helm.
They do amazing with their social media. I know they're watching this. I just wanted to say I really, really appreciate what they're doing. And anyone that's listening, I want you to connect with us on socials. I want you to add us, collaborate with us, post it. I want to share your content. If you have a property, you're doing something good, you want to show it off, I want to stand by you. I want to show it off too. So connect with us on socials at Vodacy Sean Moore. It would be amazing if you did it. I think that's just, I would love it if you connected with this.
Yeah, love it. And you do a great job of, you know, collaborating and making sure that we help promote. And Billy and Amanda, always a shout out to them and their property and page. It's doing awesome. They're doing awesome. They're on property number two now. And so, it's fun to watch their process for sure.
Yeah. But I want to kind of transition this into something a little bit deeper here, okay?
Okay.
So yesterday I'm on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm scrolling through the reels for about an hour, hour and a half. And within that hour and an hour and a half, I found 26 different Airbnb coaches, whether they were co-host, arbitrage, no money down. And across the board, it was really interesting how everyone said it was so easy, how much money you can make in so little time. I mean, it's really like, if you don't know anything about this game, it makes like, oh, wow, like, you know, it's a great hook. But then I'm just, I get kind of upset because I feel like people are getting misled in a way. There's some misconceptions by it. And some of them even had like AI. And I'm like, I was curious on your thoughts on how do you feel about these other coaches, gurus, kind of just willy-nilly throwing this out there? Are you any opinions on this?
You know I have an opinion on this. And it is, you're really teeing me up right out of the gate. I gotta decide how, you know, let's just be honest.
Right.
One.
Yep.
First, I generally despise anybody seeking the easy button.
Right.
Nothing worth having is easy. I generally literally don't like despise that word of, hey, I'm looking for the easy road, because usually the easier path to success is the hard path in the beginning. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. So usually when somebody's out there selling the easy button, you know, they always tell you sell people what they want and try to give them what they need. And I hope that at least they're giving people what they need, or those 27, you know, gurus out there, quotes, you know, that are out there saying how this game is played. The thing that really drives me nuts, one, is the easy buttons being sold like crazy. Two, everything is written by AI. Nobody is really out there doing anything anymore. It's why we try to go live all the time. Like, what do I tell you? Like, hey, don't make our stuff look too good, right? I want people to know this is actually me. This is actually what we do. This is actually how we coach. That we actually know the foundational principles to succeed in the short-term rental game. Not putting a prompt in ChatGPT. Not that there's not good research value, and the AI is amazing. Some of the stuff that it does is crazy, but it also makes people look crazy intelligent and good at something they're probably not very experienced in. So we sell the dream. We sell the sizzle, not not the steak, right? And so what they're out there doing is out there saying, you never heard that?
That was pretty good.
Marketing 101.
The sizzle. I like that. Okay.
Sell the sizzle, not the steak. And so they're out there, you know, we're selling the lifestyle and saying, and I don't like it. You know, it's uncomfortable for me. first of all, maybe it's just because I'm not like that, right? Mm-hmm. I want to go hang out on the weekends, do my thing. I don't feel like anybody cares if I pull out my phone and show you every 5 seconds of what I'm doing all day long. Right. I want to help people live the life they don't want to take a vacation from. Mm-hmm. No question. I love that. Mm-hmm. I love being able to tap people in. Going back to the question of the easy button, that's not an easy road, right? Mm-hmm. And the road less traveled is the road that is going to make life easier for you down the line, but it's a choice you make in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Would you rather me tell you, hey, listen, these out of 100 properties that we look at, 99 of them don't work because our underwriting is so stringent, but mm-hmm. one of them is going to work. Mm-hmm. Or would you rather me say, hey, listen, here's some underwriting. It's not nearly as good. And we're going to remove a lot of these, these expenses or whatever else. So properties look better on the front end. Mm-hmm. And, 30 of these 100 properties you could buy. You're like, okay, well, that was way easier, Sean. Your underwriting took me an hour and a half. This underwriting took me putting in an address, putting in a bedroom count, putting in a guest count, and it spits it out and says, yes, it works. I go buy a property, way easier on the front end. But mm-hmm. guess what happens 6 months down the line when that property is not producing and it's not doing well? Now it's right. a much harder road. Right. And so that's just one example. That's mm-hmm. just running the numbers, right? Would you rather do what we do and take 3 days to do a photo shoot and spend, all kinds of money? We're spending, usually somewhere in that range of $5,000 to $10,000 for a photo shoot on mm-hmm. our properties, mm-hmm. because that's our marketing tools for the next 5 to 7 years.
Right.
And I need to be able to articulate everything I have. And I need to be able to put these lifestyle photos together so that the guest is like, hey, I like that property. That's exactly what I want to go experience. Mm-hmm. But that's a hard photo shoot.
Right.
Or we could just call a local real estate photographer. They're in there for 3 hours. It costs me $300 and I get it done. And then I put my property online. Nobody's converting. I can't figure out the conversion. I call Sean. He's like, you got to do this again. So mm-hmm. I don't quite want to do what he says to do because it's hard and it's mm-hmm. expensive. And so I go another easy road. And then, but the road that you're ending up, you're choosing these easy buttons on the front end that make it way harder on the back end to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking specifically our game, but that goes in life in general. Think about any thing that you have or that you have the option to choose the easy road, choose the easy button, and then down the line, there's consequences for that. So I'm coming to a city near you. That's right. Me and my team of expert advisors are going to be traveling around the United States, teaching people just like you how to acquire, manage, and market a successful short-term vacation rental. We're going to be hosting live 2-day events to help investors mitigate their risks and maximize their returns with short-term vacation rentals. At these live events, you're not only going to hear from me, but I'm going to also bring my team of experts, CPAs, lenders, photographers, designers, managers, and my marketing experts. So if you're looking to learn more about investing in profitable lifestyle assets, or you want actionable steps on how to revitalize your struggling property, then come join us live and in person where we can shake your hand, meet you, and get all of those questions answered. Tickets start at general admission and work their way up to ultra VIP. So you can buy your tickets today by clicking the link in the description or by visiting Eventbrite and searching Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass. Once again, click the link in the description or visit Eventbrite and search Vacation Rental Investing Masterclass to get your tickets today. I'm a believer that anything worth having, if it was really easy to be at the top 1%, everybody would do it.
Right.
Right. If there was a secret trick or a hack that one of those 27 coaches that claim that they only just discovered it and they mm-hmm. just found it, mm-hmm. that's not true. Right. There's fundamental principles to succeed in any game that you're playing. Short-term rentals are no different. Mm-hmm. Figure out the fundamentals and you'll mm-hmm. figure out how to succeed. The fundamentals of success are usually not, hey, click the easy button here.
Right.
So, going back to, I know that it's all about trying to convert and everybody's mm-hmm. trying to sell their products and everything else. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're no different. We have products, we have a coaching program, but at the end of the day, do a little due diligence on the person that you're going to think about mm-hmm. hiring. And if they ever tell you that they have the only answer to your success or they have that something that nobody else has besides them, there's no secrets under the sun anymore.
Right.
I mean, and so I would turn around and run.
Yeah. I would advise look for depth in the person. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Look for conversations. Right.
Don't trust the marketing online.
Right.
Like actually pick up a phone, jump on a Zoom call, mm-hmm. have some interaction with the person you're going to ask you to help, mm-hmm. help you down a road. Make sure one, that they're actually doing it, that they've done it long enough to have some success or some mistakes. I always tell people, somebody asked me last week, why do you think you're the best in the business? Why do you think you're so good at this game? Mm-hmm. Like, what is the secret to your success? And it's not that I'm smarter, anything else. I've just got staying power, and I've been doing this for a long time. And I tell people, I don't know anybody that's made as many mistakes as I've made
right
over the years. I mean, we've made so many mistakes. If there was a wrong way to do it, I've done it. Mm-hmm. And so, but by doing that, we're able to take that baton, hand it to somebody and say, here, you run further down the road than I've ever been able to run, because you don't have to make those same mistakes right. that I made. And right. that's where I think the value is. Mm-hmm. And we can look at somebody and say, oh no, don't do it that way. Because guess what? I've tried that and it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Do it this way instead. And mm-hmm. so make sure that that person that you're listening to, everything looks good online. There's yeah. nobody oh, out yeah. there right now with AI and marketing and everything else that should not have good ads and good videos and, you know, and good, mm-hmm. like everything should look good on the front end. Mm-hmm. Dive a few layers deeper. Like you said, right. go deep, peel back right. some layers of the onion, have some conversations, ask for their experience. And if they're promoting the easy button, I'm not a fan. Yeah. There's not an easy button. Yeah. And I've been doing this for a long time. There's an easier road to success. Right. I always say it's way easier to operate in the top of the markets than the bottom of the markets mm-hmm. or the middle of the market where everybody I think goes to die, because you go in there and it's just a commodity. Mm-hmm. When you're a commodity, your only thing to compete on is price. Mm-hmm. When you make yourself a commodity and you do the same things everybody else is doing, mm-hmm. that's the definition of a commodity. The consumer can't tell the difference between you and somebody else. And right. so you have to do the hard things in the beginning to stand out and be different than everybody else so that the road down the line is easier to run.
Right. Oh, dude, that was a perfect setup for this segue right here. Okay.
All right.
You got your Airbnb during COVID. Not you personally. I'm just saying to the listener right now, yeah. you got an Airbnb during COVID when everybody else was. You clicked the easy button. A couple of years have gone by now, and now you're having to face going down the tough road. You're going to have to peel back some layers here. You're going to have to realize, I'm not making the amount of money that I wanted to. This isn't booking like how I thought it was going to. So now you want to know, how do I revitalize this struggling property?
Yeah.
So we're going to kind of teach some people. First and foremost, our first bullet point here is understanding your why. Why do people need to understand, why are you doing this? What do you want out of this? What is your end yep. goal? Some people just jumped into this thinking, oh, it's going to be a quick money grab, and now you're kind of stuck with the second mortgage. You don't know what to do because you didn't understand your why, in right. my opinion.
Yeah.
Talk to me about okay, that.
So first, I'm going to back up.
Okay.
We're starting off with revitalize a struggling property. Understand right. as we're having these, you're going through these questions and we're mm-hmm. asking some of this stuff, and I'm going to give you my opinion on it, and we dive in. There's only three things that okay. make or break a property. And if you dial in all three of these things, you're going to have a successful property. If you are mm-hmm. missing one of the three things, you're going to struggle a little bit. And mm-hmm. so in the past, you bought during COVID, you had that big wave run up, yeah. and just having a property, having one of those three things was all you needed to make money. Right. Now you need all three of the things. The first thing is the right property in the right location, right? Mm-hmm. That is set up, and you have the potential to make the money that you're trying to make, has the potential to do what you're trying to do. And we'll get back to the property goals here in just a minute on the mm-hmm. why. So right property, right location. Number two, I've got to have a target audience that I've developed a unique experience for, and I've got to have the management in place to deliver that experience. That's mm-hmm. pillar number two. Pillar number three, I better understand how to articulate that property and experience that I have so that mm-hmm. I can stand out in these crowded markets and get the consumer to say, hey, I want your property above and beyond everybody else's out there. Mm. That's it. Nothing mm-hmm. else you have to worry about. There's no other secrets. There's no other tricks. It's saying, here's the fundamentals. Let's figure out how to dial them in, and let's figure out how to execute on them. Okay.
Love it.
So understand that those are the three things. The first one, you're saying, understand your why. This comes down to right property, right location. Everybody mm-hmm. says, hey, I want the easy button. Give me the top 10 list. Give me the right. best markets to invest in.
Right.
Give me where everybody's going today. And like mm-hmm. everybody publishes these famous lists and they say, hey, listen, I'm going to go buy a property there. And they think that they think they check that box off right property, right location.
Right.
That's like going out and saying, hey, I'm going to go, I need to buy a pair of athletic shoes, but not knowing what sport you're going to play. Right. Mm. It's like, so understanding your why is saying, I'm going to identify what my property goals are. What am I looking yeah. for? How much money do I have to spend? Am I buying it for personal usage? Am I buying it more for cash flow? Am I buying it more for appreciation? Am I buying it because of the tax advantages? Do I want to buy it for all five of those things? Right. Understanding that what your actual property goals are, your why, people call it their buy box, everything else. Mm-hmm. You have to start there and not go just start with, you know, Sean says, I just need a right property in a right location. So just tell me a good market and I'll go buy it.
100%.
That property, right location means it's the right property in the right location to help you achieve your property goals.
Right.
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 And so depending on what those goals are, you're going to be going to different markets and they've mm-hmm. got to have the potential to help you reach those goals. And so you have to be able to underwrite and analyze and look at numbers and look at all these different things, all these intangibles about what those actual property goals are, because you might say, hey, listen, I'm just buying it for the tax advantages. And then you realize that's a one-time tax advantage that you have to take care of. And you get a big savings when you buy it with bonus depreciation, everything else, short-term rental loophole. We won't go into that right now, but there's this, this is happening all the time. Mm-hmm. People are saying I just need to save money on taxes. I go buy a property, I save money on taxes. Then guess what? Year two, year three, they bought a dog. They didn't set it up. They're not making any money with it. And all of a sudden they're losing money. Now all of a sudden they have this thing that was supposed to be an asset that was supposed to be helping to make some money. And they're losing money because they only focused on one little thing on the front end. And they end up having to sell that property. And then, oh, by the way, when you sell a property that you bonus depreciated, you have to recapture all those taxes and give them back to the IRS and say, hey, listen, all those tax, now that those taxes I saved by buying this asset, since I sold that asset, I owe you all these taxes now.
Right.
You know, and so it's really understanding the game and what your, I mean, you have limitations as a purchaser. You have budget limitations. You have time limitations. You have knowledge limitations. And so what limitations do you have? What are you trying to achieve? And can that property in that location help you achieve that?
That was great. I'm so excited for this. We're going to keep going. Okay, going on to the second pillar here, target audience. We're going to talk about just, you know, we've talked about this a good amount of times. The problem with being everything to everyone, understanding, like, I mean, some people, I would hate to say this, but some people don't even know what a niche is. Like, what's the importance of choosing your niche and really targeting that audience? We've discussed this a lot of times, and please go back through the playlist or just scroll down on Spotify or Apple playlist, and you can find tons of episodes on this. But I mean, this is one of those pillars, right?
Yeah. It's the second pillar. It's saying, hey, listen, I have to create a unique experience for a specific target audience and be able to deliver that experience.
Right.
If I don't have that and I just have a nice property in a nice area, well, guess what? Everybody else has a nice property in your same area.
You're just middle.
You have great views. Well, guess what? Your next door neighbors have the exact same view, right? The exact same location.
Right.
And so you have to be able to do something to level up. Consumers are willing to pay you more money if you give them a reason to.
Right.
The number one thing people will pay more money for is a unique, personalized experience. And so if you can pick a target audience and you create an experience for them, that's all niching down is. It's saying, I'm not going to be everything to everybody, because being everything to everybody means I'm a commodity.
Right.
And if you can't make money being the low price leader, right, like a Walmart in the game, don't do it. There's no value in being the second low price leader when you're a commodity, because commodities sell on price. And if you don't want to sell on price, you're only the number one thing that you can do to give the consumer a good reason to pay you more money is create a unique experience and a personalized experience for them. Personalized means picking their niche. Are they adventure travelers? Is it a couple's getaway? Is it a big family reunion place? Is it adults only place? Like, what type of a property is it? And who is your target audience? And then create that experience for them. Because if you have a couple's experience and couples are looking in that area and there's all these cabins available that are really, really nice, but one of them is set up specifically for a couple's retreat, going to be attracted to that. They're going to say, okay, well, that one's $500 a night. Everything else, we can get any other one, two bedroom in this market for $300 a night, save almost half. The couple is going to say, yeah, but you know what? This one's set up for us. This one's going to be a better experience for us. And they're willing to pay you more. And so we really try to get people to lean into that concept of saying, hey, listen, pick a target audience, create a great experience for them, because that's pillar number two that needs to be checked off in today's markets if you want to get your unfair share of business. There is a lot of money being spent right now in these markets across the board, regardless of what people are telling you.
And words talk, but numbers scream.
Yeah, words talk, numbers scream. And so like run the numbers and understand because, and you know, we can dive into conversations I had earlier this week with some of our coaching members right. that were getting told, you know what, the market's changed and it shifted and mm-hmm. there's just not that much money and blah, blah, blah. We pulled up the numbers like, guys, market's up 25% year over year.
Now pause.
Okay.
Here's my question. Someone comes to you, Sean, the market's down. Right. There's too many products. It's oversaturated. It's mm-hmm. all these things. And then you go, okay, well, let's look at the numbers.
Yeah.
And you find out, okay, that's actually false. There's about the same amount of properties. The market is actually up. Money is actually being spent in this market. I feel like those people are getting lied to by someone, right? Or there's a disconnect there.
Yeah.
How do we tell people to find out this for yourself. You have to look at your numbers. We've preached that a million times, but it seems like people are just going to listen to whoever's telling them that information.
Well, one, bad news sells. Marketers know bad news sells.
Oh, that's great.
Right? Yeah. And so every marketer knows bad news sells. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of marketers lean into that. Right. They lean into the fear-based type of selling. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a lot of things out there. There's a lot of performance. Like if you're talking to a management company mm-hmm. and you're saying, hey, we're down. Well, guess what? That's the easy button for them is to blame the market, is to blame, performances. Mm-hmm. It's not us. It's not you. It's the market.
Right. Like, out of our control.
Yeah, it's out of our control. There's these market forces that we just can't do much about.
Right.
And they don't want to place the blame on the investor. They don't want to place the blame on themselves. And that's where a lot of it comes down to. Mm-hmm. I was speaking recently in Dallas, or no, I was in Georgia, to this group of property managers, mm-hmm. 700 property managers in the room. And I was talking to them about these three fundamental pillars of success mm-hmm. and the relationship between an investor, what's an investor responsible for versus the management partner and everything else. Mm-hmm. And I started going through the numbers and very few of them, I'm talking very, very few, maybe 1% of them. Mm-hmm. knew the type of numbers that we're talking about to look at. And so I don't know that it's necessarily lies. I think that sometimes mm-hmm. people, you know, regurgitate and repeat information they heard from somewhere mm-hmm. that the market was bad, that right. Nobody's getting listings or this and that and the other.
Right.
Go on any news station, go read a newspaper, and you'll be ready to put a bullet in your brain by the end of the day. And so, I mean,
right.
It's not... It gets regurgitated and people read headlines. They don't read the articles and their news gets away with this because if you actually read the articles many times, they're nowhere near as bad as that headline made it sound.
Right.
Because people just read headlines. Uh-huh. And so I also think online, people are on there. They try to get clicks. They try to get likes. They try to get views. It's the exact opposite approach that we take. Like mm-hmm. I always tell you, I don't give two shits how many people like my stuff, mm-hmm. how many people view my stuff. I'm going to say what I'm going to say.
Right.
And I'm going to tell people what I think they need to hear. Right. And that doesn't, at least my view of this world, mm-hmm. right? And I don't think people care about following me around my house, following me around doing my vacations, right. everything else. I want to provide educational information. Mm. That doesn't ever go viral. There's a lot of people who are trying to go viral. And so when the information is out there on the marketing side, when you're trying to go viral, bad news sells. Mm-hmm. So that's that. On the operational side, there's a lot of people, management partners and realtor partners that really don't have the data and look at the data the same way that we look at it. Mm. And they just might not have it. So I don't know that they're lying as much as they're trying to, somehow kind of not blame the consumer.
Yeah, exactly. Calm down.
It's not you. It's not me. The market's there. Right. We got to weather this storm.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Moving on to our next bullet point here, how to revitalize your struggling property. Is your pricing accurate with your product? Is your price too high, too low? Of course, we literally just came out with an episode, two episodes before this, I believe 279, Understanding Seasonality. Sean goes in depth with pricing strategies. Highly recommend you go listen to that for this. But when it comes to you have a struggling property and you're just a commodity, you're just in the middle where everyone goes to die. Do you think people are, and you're competing on price because there's tons of options and people are now just looking at what's the cheapest because no one's really standing out anyway. Do you think a way that it's hurting you is you're now have your price, does it hurt more if your price is too high or too low if you're in the middle? Meaning
it's a good question. That's a really good question. I think you're probably because you have two concerns for the consumer when they see that. Mm-hmm. One, the price too low, they're going to say, what's wrong with that property?
Right.
Why is that one so low compared to everything else? So if you're mm-hmm. way lower than what everybody else that you're competing against mm-hmm. looks like, then the consumer is going to say, what's wrong with that? That probably doesn't hurt you as bad because you will get people that are just shopping on price. And when people right. are shopping for commodities and you have a commodity, price is the issue, you know? Right. And so that probably doesn't hurt you that bad. You do raise questions of what's wrong. The second one does hurt you because one, a high price will stop people and say, that's interesting. Maybe I want to do that. People overlook pricing as a marketing tool. Like pricing is one of your biggest marketing tools that you can use. And a lot of times, strategically, we price higher than the market so that consumer stops the scroll and we get to answer that question, why are they better? Like, why is this one double the price? Mm. Why would I pay it? Because what happens is all of a sudden it's another way to stand out. Because if they know everything in this market is $500 and you're charging $1,000, there's something, like even looking on a map. Have you ever looked on Airbnb and the map and it just shows prices?
Yeah.
And all the prices are the same. And all of a sudden you see one that's way more.
Yeah.
And like that's a great way to stand out on the map and click.
Yeah.
The issue is you lose them almost instantly if you're not giving them a reason why you're,
right.
why you're more. So,
right.
So it's a very good tool to be able to stop, be able to have that opportunity to answer that question. If you can answer the question in the consumer's mind of why you're better, and then they realize why you're better, that's a great and a phenomenal marketing tool. It can hurt you though if all of a sudden they click on it, they instantly, you just look like the same as everybody else. There is a small percentage of consumers that will say, well, I can't tell why that's better, but it must be. And so I'm in it. Like there's some people that will just pay more because they think, well, if it's the most expensive, it's got to be the best.
Yeah.
So you will maybe pick up some bookings, but it can really tank your overall rankings and bookings because it will probably stop most consumers and most consumer behavior. They're looking to answer that question. If you don't answer that question for them of why you're different, they're gone.
Right. Right. I love it. Okay. I mean, that's a really good point on like when I'm on Airbnb, I'm totally with you. If I see something that's just way more or even double, the curiosity of, okay, hold on, wait a minute. Let me just check it out.
Check I might not out. Be booking it.
But I just want to see.
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a really interesting. So now we can kind of move that into the marketing aspect. You know, if pricing is the only way you're marketing, but then you can't answer that question, that's a total flop. But what about people that are only relying on Airbnb? They don't even have a website. They don't have any kind of social media. They're not posting about it. They're not doing any newsletter. I mean, it just seems like people know this. At the end of the day, you know, I'm writing all this stuff and I go, people at the end of the day, you know this.
They don't though.
You don't think so?
I think we think they know.
Right.
Even within our membership group. Like I just got off a coaching call on Friday on our marketing call, on our paid marketing. Every Friday we do a paid marketing call. We teach Facebook ads and direct bookings and everything else. And one of our members got on. She's like, holy crap, Sean, I need to get this turned on immediately. Like something happened with Vrbo. And they took my listing and basically took my listing off and buried it.
Wow.
And we were doing really well. And now I need to do this. And I said, okay, we had this conversation 6 months ago, 8 months ago that we needed to set this up. Where are you at with the setup? Well, I stopped because I was doing so well on Vrbo. Right. I said, okay, this is the problem. The direct marketing and direct bookings, it's a commitment, right? It's a commitment to a process. And it's like starting to turn that flywheel and I'm turning it slow and I build this system out so that it starts to move on its own. And you know, once you get a flywheel moving, it's hard to stop it. But it doesn't start going from 0 to 100 overnight, right? You have to continually feed it and push it and build that list and build those marketing campaigns and stay top of mind and have emails and newsletters and everything else so that people are like in your world providing value to those people. It doesn't happen overnight where you just can turn that on. You can turn it on overnight, but it's a slow burn to get it set up, right? And so, you know, going back to the question is, what do I think about people that rely on those OTAs? I think it's risky as heck. I think it's super risky. Those OTAs have millions and millions of eyeballs. They're phenomenal marketplaces for us in the short-term rental world. I'm not here to tell you that I don't have all my properties on there. We absolutely do. We absolutely optimize, maximize on there. but we also run down another road parallel. So should something happen with those platforms, I've got my own book of business. I've got my own customer base that I can start doing. And this saved me during COVID. I learned this lesson hard during COVID when they shut everything down. And we had already started building up this list on our properties. They Airbnb Vrbo shut everything down during COVID, and it was only for 2 weeks. It was short lived, but it was a panic for 2 weeks for a lot of people because nobody knew when it was going to turn back on. Guess who wasn't panicking? Me.
You.
Because I had an email list. I had a customer base. We emailed them out. Our properties were in areas that were open, and we said, hey guys, we're still open. If you're looking for a staycation, you need to get away. If you live in the city and you want to go somewhere that's not locked down, come visit our properties, and boom, we rebooked immediately.
There we go.
And our properties were filled up solid. And so, hey guys, real quick, we are seeing record amounts of money being spent by guests visiting short-term rentals across the board. Yet many property owners are struggling to make the money that they want with those properties. So if your property is not performing like you'd hoped and you're crossing your fingers thinking that maybe it's going to get better soon, then you're going to be very, very disappointed because your property is performing exactly how you have it set up to perform. The good news is you're probably a lot closer to making money than you realize. I just hosted a live 3-day workshop on how to revitalize a struggling property where I covered the only three things that you need to dial in to succeed at the top of the short-term rental markets. And I'm going to send it to you absolutely free for being one of our podcast listeners. In these recorded trainings, I give you actionable steps on what you need to do to turn your property around and make the money that you've been hoping for. So you can get access to this free training by sending us an email to support@vodysey.com. Once again, send that email to support@vodysey.com to get your free training today. Ever since then, every one of my properties, I have a daily campaign. I generate one or two leads every single day, like clockwork, over the years, and we generate direct bookings. And we have a now we have an email list. Most of my properties have 4,000 or 5,000 people on the email list. And ultimately, after about 2 to 3 years of direct bookings, you have the option just to pull off. Most of my properties, like I have two of my properties, aren't even on Airbnb and Vrbo anymore. We just have our own list.
Wow.
And so it's a nice feeling to control your own destiny.
Right.
And not rely on those OTAs to ultimately decide your destiny. If they change their rules, if you end up getting a bad review and you tank, right, and you're trying to get that review, you know, mitigated or whatever else, maybe you actually did do something wrong.
Yeah.
You get a bad review and all of a sudden, boom, your rankings drop like a rock.
Okay. So I bet that's what'll happen to a good amount of people is they got the property during COVID or something, or around that time. They put on Airbnb, it's going well, but now there's a lot more properties. They're becoming a commodity. They're in the middle. They're not booking as much. And so I think if you want to learn how to market your property, if you want to hop on these Friday calls, email us, contact us at support@vodysey.com. We'll get you connected. Moving into design and photos now. We've seen tons of properties that are, you know, that are great homes, but they all look the same. Like this middle of the road, they're all gray, white, neutral colors. There's nothing that really makes them pop. That you may have the higher price, but you don't have anything. You don't have a target audience. You don't have anything in there. Your design's crap, right? So how do we tell people right now, like, how do we, you know, gently, but, you know, in a frankly tell them your property sucks,
right?
Like there's no color. Well, it looks gray.
Here's the issue. Their properties don't suck. Like a lot of the times these properties in the middle of the market, they have become commodities. Yeah. They're beautiful properties,
right?
They're actually designed beautifully. And so we talk about design and we say design sucks. The design does not suck. Their design is actually really, really nice.
Okay.
Most of these properties look like model homes. And this is wherein lies the problem is all those model homes are just competing with every other model home out there.
Right.
And what we've done, we call it our Vodysey signature recipe. And we've figured it like, and again, through trial and error and figuring out what consumers respond to, what they don't. And honestly, what design doesn't get copied that much because people are like, I'm not doing that to my house. And it is our design is not going to win any design awards, to be honest. It's not. Our properties, when you look at our 1% properties, they're designed like model homes, but then we bring them to life. We tell a story. We tell the area story. We tell the property story if there's any history there. And we just bring them to life with this like over the top artwork and accessories and things like that, where it's this immersive experience. And if you don't have, again, the word experience comes up. If it's not an experience, if your property is not turning into an experience, it's going to struggle. And this is where a lot of people, they think, okay, I'm just going to be, there's a lot of really like good, even short-term rental specific designers that have beautiful designs. And yet it doesn't bring the property to life enough to tell a story. It's just this really beautiful design. And so where we don't get to talk to people. We're not a tour guide. We don't get salespeople on our listings to be able to explain everything about the area and everything else. I've got to have my property do that. And then I've got to be able to photograph it well enough that I can tell that story through my photos, the area, the property, the amenities, my proximity, all of the above, right? Mm. And it's not just about a great property with beautiful model home design anymore. Those have become the commodity.
Yeah.
And it's hard when somebody's like, man, I've got this $1 million property, multi-million dollar property, whatever it is that you've got in a beautiful location, great proximity, right, designed by professional designers, and you spent all this money and it still seems to be struggling in the middle of the market. It's because you didn't design it to create an experience and an immersive experience. You designed it as a beautiful home.
Right.
We're not in the home business. I say it all the time. Mm. We're in the experience business.
Yeah. Man, I love the way you said the story aspect of it. I think that's really a key point is that, yeah, you may have like a beautiful home, but What is it saying? Who is it targeting? Like, what's its experience? I love it, man. That's beautiful. Moving on. It's going to be kind of tough. This last bullet point can be tough for some people right here.
Okay.
Right? This is the bullet point of facing some hard truths. Okay. Now, if you've already clicked on this episode, you're already wanting to know how to revitalize your struggling property, right? Mm-hmm. But now it's time to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
Right? For some people, that's hard to, you know, you have a losing property at the moment right now, but you're going to think maybe if I just keep chugging along, maybe next year it'll be fine. You don't really want to face your decision of, am I going to make these changes or am I going to have to sell, or you're not doing anything with it.
Right.
Right. Talk to me about why people need to just face the truth here.
Yeah. One, the truth is no property underperforms. There's no properties out there that are underperforming. I've yet to see one that's underperforming. In all the analysis I've done, properties perform exactly how they're set up to perform. Mm-hmm. They're exactly how you set them up, the decisions you made, some of the easy buttons you might have pushed in the beginning,
right,
that are causing you to struggle now after you've had some time. Mm-hmm. And going back to kind of the conversation of people giving advice and everything else, one of our coaching calls I had, mm-hmm, one of our members has a property in Waco, and mm-hmm, she has a really nice, cute, like picturesque, like Magnolia type design Waco mm-hmm property, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, hey, she got on, long story short, Sean, what do you think about this property? We're kind of struggling with it. It's not performing like it did. It hit the gates, like it came out of the gates, like hitting on all cylinders, mm-hmm, making us money.
Right.
Now it's not. I talked to my property manager. She said, we're actually faring better than most, but the market's down. The consumers aren't spending as much money. The market's down, occupancy's down, right, but our property's actually doing better than most people's. Do we just need to weather this storm? That's her advice. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on it? I said, well, first let's look in the numbers, mm-hmm, right? Let's look in the mirror, right? And this is the fact of the matter is you have to look. If you're saying, hey, listen, I've got a property that's struggling, I need to look in the mirror and I need to audit three things. Do I have a good property in a good location that's right, going to fit my goals? Do I have a unique experience targeted for a target audience and set up to deliver that? And three, am I marketing this property? So we looked and she was told the market's bad. So I said, let's go look at the market, mm-hmm, year over year, because last year they were killing it and mm-hmm this year they're not. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, well, year over year, supply is pretty constant. There was a difference of four homes mm-hmm in a pretty major market, Waco, Texas. Mm-hmm. Difference of four homes year over year on mm-hmm supply. So supply hasn't gone up. You don't have a lot more competition.
Right.
The demand, consumer demand, which is how much money is the consumer spending in the market, was up by over 20% year over year.
Wow.
And her performance was down about 20%. It's a 40% swing.
Wow.
And so more money being spent, mm-hmm, the performance was down year over year, mm-hmm, and we're looking at it saying, okay, the picture that I'm seeing is that we're sliding for no reason. So now let's go look and see where we stack as far as our competition. Like, what do we have compared to what everybody else has. We pulled up Waco. We looked at the properties, and guess what? You're scrolling, what? you're scrolling. Her property's in the middle of all these properties. They all look the same.
There we go.
They're all identical. Mm-hmm. Like, as a consumer, if you're scrolling on your properties in your market and you can't see why you're different, that's a problem. And so we said, listen, let's look at this. You just have a beautiful model home. And it is. It's designed amazing. It's a really, I mean, it's really acute. Like, there was no shortcuts when it came to design and money spent on design. And location was amazing. I mean, they're right outside of Baylor University. I mean, for game days and everything else. And they really weren't leaning into anything that had to do with the area. It was just a really cool design, right?
Right.
And so right there, you're saying, okay, if I'm auditing my situation, let me just figure out where I'm going wrong. Well, if you miss, and those three steps are sequential. Like, if you miss step one, it doesn't matter how good your marketing is.
Right.
It doesn't matter how good of an experience you have. If you have the wrong property in the wrong location, you're going to struggle. So you have to check that box first. Uh-huh. So as you're auditing, we audited the numbers first. Does she have the potential to do what she's trying to do in this market, right?
Right.
No, the market looks good. Potential looks good. Property looks good. So I got to go to step two. Right. Step two is, I've got a commodity. I've got a model home. Mm-hmm. So now I don't worry about the step three of the marketing and articulating photos and everything else. Mm-hmm. I have to fix step two. Right. Then I go to step three.
Right.
And so when you're auditing your situation, you're going to have, in one of those three pillars, you're going to be missing something. You might be missing in two of the three. Mm-hmm. But if you miss on one, forget about step two and three. I need to sell the property. Mm. If you miss on step two, we don't move to step three until we fix step two, right? Pillar two. Mm. So it's a matter of just being honest with yourself. Set your ego to the side. Nobody's telling you that you have bad design. Nobody's telling you don't have a great home in a good proximity and you spend a lot of money on it and you spend a lot of time on it. I get it. Mm-hmm. So does everybody else that your neighbors are, you know.
Right.
And so just go on to convince yourself, go on Airbnb, Vrbo, wherever you want to look at properties and go scroll around in your area and see. Yeah. I mean,
if you scroll past your property thinking it looks like everybody else's, you may want to contact us.
You're going to, it'll be obvious. It'll be glaringly obvious to people.
Right.
If they really set their ego aside and look at it from the lens of, okay, what, you know, how am I setting myself up to perform this way? And what can I do different to perform better?
Mm. Oh, that was beautiful. Okay. So say someone has one of these properties. They clicked on this episode. They've listened to this point right now and they go, man, you know what? Let's get in contact with Odyssey. Let's get in contact with Sean Moore. What's the best way that one of these listeners right now can meet with you, talk to you, talk to one of our strategists, get in contact with us to help revitalize that property?
Yeah. The best is always just go to Odyssey.com. Okay. And check out. That'll have our most up-to-date offerings, ways to get a hold of us, book a call. There's always a book a call. Go check out our success story page. There's book a call sections on there. Mm-hmm. Just go to Vodacy.com, look at the resources, and some of those resources are going to be a chance to chat with us about what you're doing. I host live workshops all the time, so those things will be updated. So I always just say go to Vodacy.com.
Love it. Love it. Well, that was today's episode right there. We're at 41 minutes. So dude,
long one.
Huh? It had to be done.
So there you go. All right, guys. Well, listen, we know how valuable your time is, and we hope you got value out of that conversation. We hope you gained a lot from it, maybe heard some things that you weren't thinking about or reminded you of some things that you already knew that you need to do. And so if you got some value out of that show, we would appreciate if you have somebody else that you think would be helpful, share the show. Mm-hmm. We don't run ads outside of our own self-promotions, right?
Yeah.
And so the only way this show grows is if you guys share it. And so we'd always appreciate it. If you have more than 30 seconds on whatever platform you're watching or listening on, give us that thumbs up that you like the show. Those things make a difference for us. And the final most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today. Start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends. Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.